And only my Father knoweth. And if I would be transformed into the realization that Christ is my identity, I must let my Father direct the entire transformation from within the kingdom of God where the Father is. My human mind can only be receptive. It cannot decide. It cannot determine directions. It must let the Father who knoweth do the works. And therefore I must build what may be called a vacuum of trust. A feeling of resting, abiding, accepting, letting, standing aside, and becoming a beholder to the living Christ of my own being. Without might, without power, knowing that my Father knoweth my needs for a very simple reason. My Father and the Christ that I am are one and the same. I will not accept a second life. There is no God and another life. My Father knows all about God life, and there is no other. And your vacuum of trust is the acceptance that God, who knows all about God life, is the only life that I have. And therefore there is no need for me to take thought about God life. What I shall eat, what I shall wear, how I shall live in this world, what I shall desire or become, for my Father knoweth about divine life. And the moment that I take thought, the moment that I have to see to this or to that, I am accepting another life than the perfect divine life, and in that acceptance of the second life, I have lost identity all over again. Well, now it gets difficult. We have a little passage here I want to read to you from another book of Joel's, Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture, page 211. It's a book that I think you'll all want to look at very carefully, particularly the chapter called The True Sense of the Universe. Now the secret, which has been so rarely understood, is this. The life which you behold in man, tree, or animal is not the life which is God. Human, animal, or plant life is not a manifestation of God. Therefore, it is not immortal, eternal, or spiritual. The life of material man or flower is mortal sense objectified. It is a false sense of the life which is real. Now there goes all our ecology out the window. And if you're a great flower lover, you can find some measure of compensation in the knowledge that the flowers you love are far more beautiful in their invisible reality. Joel isn't content to just say these things, so you've got to get the next paragraph. The understanding of this truth will give you, will enable you to look away from the objects of sense. It will enable you to refrain from attempting to heal, correct, or reform the mortal sense of existence. And as soon as you have conquered the desire to heal or improve the material sense of existence, the spiritual or real begins to unfold and reveal itself to you. You cannot behold or experience eternal life and its harmonies and beauties while accepting the evidence of the senses as if it were real, it were God's creation. Now, with that in mind, let's pretend for a moment that God is an archery expert and God is shooting at a target. Well, if God is doing the shooting, that arrow will just go smack through the middle of the target every time. God being infallible. Now, what could you do then to improve God's aim or archery score? The only thing you could possibly do would be to get in the way. And so, you learn to stay out of the way. As a student of spirit, you learn that God is running a perfect universe all around you. Just as he would be a perfect archer and you couldn't assist him, you can't help God run a perfect universe. There's nothing you can do to assist. Not one single thing. The only thing you can do humanly is get in the way. And if you want harmony, you have to learn how to get out of the way and let God do it where you stand. That is our one self we learn to be. Because our Father knoweth. Now, here's another passage in this very chapter which correlates with this. And it's a very simple but difficult one. God does not provide an apple or an automobile. God is the apple. God is the automobile. God appears as. Now, if you're a literal-minded person who said, he said God is the apple, therefore that apple is God, well, you're taking a bite out of God every time you take a bite out of an apple, and you know that isn't so. He said God appears as the apple. Now, there's a confusion because, you know, he wrote a book called God is the Substance of All Form. And so in one place he says God is the substance of the apple, and your own sense tells you that God isn't the apple. How can God be the substance of the apple and yet not be the apple? And when you have the riddle of that, you have the riddle of everything else. There isn't God and anything visible. There isn't God and anything material. There isn't God and anything perishable. Whatever is visible, material, perishable, is not God. But only God is real. Now, if God is the substance of all form, but is not the material form, then God must be the substance of another form. And now you've got the missing part of the riddle. God is the substance of invisible form, of permanent form, of non-material form. God is the invisible substance of something that you look at and call a physical, visible, tangible apple. God is not the substance of that apple. God is the substance of the invisible reality of that apple. God is not the substance of your physical body. God is the substance of the invisible reality, which is your spiritual body. And mortal sense about that spiritual body becomes the appearance we call our physical body. God is not the substance of a baby. God is not the substance of an adult. God is not the substance of a tree, of a flower, of a river, of a mountain. God is not the substance of the sun. God is not the substance of any visible, perishable, or material substance. God is not the substance of a gas, a liquid, or a solid. These are our mental interpretations about an invisible substance that we cannot see or touch. But when you have left the realm of visible effects and have accepted the invisible realm of cause and are living in the consciousness of invisible cause and finally in the Christ of your own being, then God, the Father, individualizing as God, the Christ, of you, becomes the activity which invisibly is the Holy Ghost, which you look at and through mortal sense interpret to be what you call the added things, the forms that you enjoy in your Christ consciousness. Out here are your concepts about the invisible activity of God, and those forms are always in harmony, always beautiful, always functioning under the government of God. Now, when Joel tells us there's no life in the tree of God, he's explaining that the life is not in the tree. The tree is a world concept about the invisible life, expressing to the best of the world's concept's ability the idea that is there invisibly. But the tree is never the life of God. That is why you can go in there with a hacksaw and fell that tree. That is why you can put a match to a forest and burn a whole forest. Because you're not burning God's life. You're burning material concepts. You say, how can I, with a human mind, puzzle this thing out and come to any agreeable solutions? You cannot. The truth of God surpasses all understanding. There is nothing you can do to improve God's aim as an archer or God's ability to run a perfect universe. You can only share in it. And so you learn that you must live in that realm of cause called Christ. And then, if you're an expectant mother, the child will come forth under Christ's protection. If you're an employee, the relationship between you and your associates and your employer will be under Christ's protection. Whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing is only under Christ's protection when you have accepted that the invisible life, regardless of what forms you see, the invisible life is Christ. You have reduced the entire population of this earth to one invisible Christ. And any time you violate that, through word, action, deed, or thought. You step right out of Eden. You're listening to the talking serpent of a mind, which has persuaded you that there's something out there that is not the perfect invisible Christ. That's what Joel means by you learn to look at the sense objects from a different level. You learn to look at the apple, knowing that it is only a concept. Its true, original, invisible, present substance is perfect spirit. And when you know the truth of that food, it won't make you fat or thin. It won't poison you. You won't have to be concerned about what it's going to do to you. If you think of it as a material thing, you are under the material law. And all that that food does to you will be what is the prevailing opinion in the mind of the world. You see, then, the fire that we stand in is Christ fire. And the reason those three could stand in that Christ fire and not be touched by the physical fire is because the physical fire is an imitation of the Christ fire. This world is an imitation of the Christ. What in the imitation has power over the original? How can a shadow have power over that for which it is a shadow? And so when you are on the firm ground of Christ, all this world consists of is an imitation of your being. That is why there is no power in the world over the Christ. Your Father knoweth. And your Father is the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of your Christ. And your Father is a perfect archer. Every need is already embodied in your seed. Every need is ever fulfilling itself in your seed. Get out of the way. Remove the sense mind which sees the objects of the sense and does not discern the invisible life that is there. Trust not the sense mind. Take no thought with the sense mind. But rather, rest. Abide, live in the acceptance that here now God is running a perfect universe, and that one life of God, which is the only life here and now, is under that perfect government of God, and therefore only my sense mind, imagining that there is a second life, a second substance, can be misleading me into the belief that there is another life here than the life of God. If I am in that sense mind, my function is not now to improve the objects of sense that appear to me, for that I have always done. My function now is to come out of that sense mind, for it is the false witness. It is not my function to educate God, to inform God, to advise God about the things of this world. It is my function to step out of the sense mind, which is painting a picture called the things of this world, in the knowledge that my Father is doing a perfect job here now, and nothing else is here besides my Father. And when you say, I have tried to do it but cannot, you will realize ultimately that the reason you could not is because no human being can do it. Transform yourself from the belief that I am that human being who cannot do it, who cannot go beyond the sense mind, who cannot rise to higher levels, and recognize that you never were that human being. God being all, and the only Son being Christ, in your acceptance that you are that Christ, you will find you have the capacity to do all things in His name. And to continue striving to do these things as a mortal being with a mortal mind will merely prolong the agony and the frustration which comes to all those who seek to find God or the kingdom of God or the land of milk and honey without first transforming themselves from the belief in mortality to the acceptance of the immortal self as my name here and now. Only that immortal self accepted is the good seed, the good earth. And it is the life that can never perish. Now you take another look at that passage in Joel's spiritual interpretation of Scripture on page 211. And until you can come to an agreement with it in your consciousness, you'll be stumbling in many places. You can never walk away from truth without violating truth. And even if you're willing to accept a half-truth, it won't work. The life of God never enters into the physical world. It is ever itself. All you can ever know about it as a human being is to find an impression in your mind. And then from that moment on, you will live under the continued hypnosis that the things you are experiencing are real. Transform means dehypnotize. And just to show you how absurd it is to live in the five senses, remember how, at one time, we all thought the sun revolved around the earth? I think it may have been Galileo who took us out of that. But you know, we still believe it. You believe it every day. Every time you see the sun rise, and then you see the sun set, you have a sunrise that comes up over here and goes down over there. How did it do it? Well, the sun must have moved around the earth to do it. That's your five-sense mind. It sees the sun come up and the sun go down. And if you can see something as big as that and not be seeing the truth, just think of everything else around you. It took Galileo or someone there to show that it was the dipping of the earth that gave the illusion of the sun going up, and the up tilt of the earth that gave the illusion of the sun going down. The sun wasn't doing any moving at all. It was the earth rotating, which we call a sunrise and a sunset. But with our sense mind, that's how it appears to us. And as we live in our sense mind, everything that we do every day and every minute is a lie about the perfect life of God, which is our reality and our eternal destiny. Separating us only now is that five-sense mind. And you will never break through it by using it. You will never break through it by observation. You will never break through it by reason or logic. You will never break through it by the brilliance of your intellect. You will only break through it by the silence. And even those breakthroughs will not change your complete world, for you'll still have the kingdom and the world, still two, where only one is. And you will never have only the kingdom until you can say, God is, I am. For I and the Father are one. That will come from the acceptance and the practice that where you stand, the world sees the Christ. And then the talking serpent, that which you have called your human mind, will tell you, but what about this and what about that? And instead of answering the talking serpent, you can recognize that there is no such mind. Christ's mind has no complaints. Christ's mind is only loving, joyous, free, completely unlimited. Pretty soon, then, the human mind is recognized as the serpent in the garden, trying to convince you that good and evil matter is all around you. But you're free of it in time. You're free of the talking serpent. You're free of the false witness, and only because you are anchored in Christ. Not Christ up there. Not Christ there. Not Christ there. First where you stand is holy ground. And then extend that to the infinite universe. Christ omnipresent. In our fidelity to omnipresent Christ, we break the five-sense hypnosis of this world, and the fire cannot consume us. Karmic law is broken. Cause and effect is gone. You are the cause. And you are the effect of your own cause. You are one cause and effect. You speak with tongues. You live with tongues. You move and have your being in the Father. Now that's our goal. Our Father knoweth the needs of the life of God, and there is no other life. In the next chapter, Ye Are the Light, you will discover that is precisely the tone of this class, and as you practice the living Christ, why, there'll hardly be anything to say next week. The light should be so bright. And this is the path to the still small voice, which is the final chapter. And then we'll go directly into the revelation of Jesus Christ to John about the first resurrection and the ascension of living in my Father's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if you will face every problem in your life with the realization that I am the Christ, and where the problem appears is the Christ, and then trust that truth, you will have an opportunity to see that the truth does make you free. Christ, omnipresent, accepted in consciousness, is the truth that does make you free. Practice, practice, practice. Thank you very much.